Hello, hello.
Yo, yo, yo.
So it's the after Valentine's Day wind down.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that's what it was?
The post-coital moment.
Post-Valentine's Day wind down.
How was your organ exchange?
Oh my gosh. Oh, it's our first Valentine's Day. So that was interesting. It is wild. I'm not going to hold you. Like, it is wild that our first Valentine's Day, we're engaged. Like, there was no Valentine's Day last year. Like, who is this? And now we're engaged on our first Valentine's Day. So,
you see what I'm saying? When I say y'all moving too fast, I'm wrong. Here's what I'm going to say. Just for the record. Yo, Tiffany's got the freaking nicest, most handsomest, most sweetest.
Don't
most
gas him.
He's a catch. I ain't going to lie.
Don't gas him.
And dude, he's a catch.
And he's young. I'm out here.
What I'm saying?
You see me.
Young. You know what I'm saying? Tall, dark, and handsome. Like, come
first
on.
First of all, calm down. Because if any of y'all try to slide in his DMs, it's a problem. Please don't do it.
We know he's got an active DM. So, hey.
Because of that, we have open DM rules in our relationship. No. Okay?
That's the thing. Mandated this?
Early. We mandated it early. Like, open DM. So
how does that work? So you have to be able to just at all times give them access to your DMs and vice versa?
And vice versa. We're on, like, with no no prep, nothing. Not like, let me look at it real quick. Like, none of that.
Yeah, that's what new love is about. Okay, that's a level. Like,
honestly,
that's a relationship level.
I think that's old love. I think we're older. And so, like, I don't have time. I do not have time to be investigating. Like, open the phone. Just open the phone and let me look. And then,
is that passcode eligible too? Is that included?
You know me. If y'all have listened to the podcast, I don't put passwords on my phone. So that's that. He does have a password on his.
You have the code?
Yes.
Wow.
Early.
Wow.
This was his mandate. Y'all know me. I've been here for a long time on this podcast. I would never open up this Pandora's box.
My man's kind of messing up the game a little bit for a lot of us fellas out here. So let's just get on to a different topic.
If you're not looking to get married, this doesn't apply.
What if you are married and you don't want to share your stuff? Like,
True. Yeah, listen.
Doing that, and it's just a matter of like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a matter of personal space, I guess.
I got
it's
you.
Like I want to be able to close the bathroom door when I'm using it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
listen, I get the feeling you don't close the bathroom door anyway, but look at you thinking about it.
I do. No, I do.
We'll post if someone posts. So he's not really big on social media. He's on it, but he's not like posting. So like, there's a check-in before a post, like, hey, so I think I'm gonna post today. You cool with it? And I'm asking because like, he's usually in it. So it's kind of like, are you cool with being on social media today? And he'd be like, all right. Then probably by end of day, within 12 hours, this is how a conversation goes. So you get any interesting DMs? Based on that post, I'm expecting there was some sort of uptick. Anything you want to talk about? Anything you want to share? On the DM front, anything exciting?
Wow.
But the exciting DMs have wind down. I will say in the beginning, they were spicy. You know, once you start posting domestic content, it starts to wind down.
Man, I post nothing but domestic content, okay? I still get some slides from time to time.
Oh, how was your Valentine's Day? How was the been married Valentine's Day?
Oh, it was beautiful. Yeah. Well, we doing ours on extended, you know what I'm saying? Like remix style. So we kicked.
You haven't celebrated yet?
No, we've been doing stuff like in dribs and drabs. So like on the actual day, we didn't do a whole lot. We went out to lunch. Then a couple of days later, we went out to get, I'm not going to say facials, but you know, we got some, okay, you know, some personal stuff done wellness together. Okay.
Soft life. Alan's living a soft life.
You see what I'm saying? Listen. You don't see my skin glisten right now? Not glistening. Glisten.
That's lotion.
No, it's not. Okay. Simple. Your simple self. We are going to go see Cat Williams this weekend.
Where?
In Atlantic City.
I was going to say, I did see his
Valentine's adjacent.
Ugh, Atlantic City. I couldn't do it. I can't do Atlantic City. But okay, whatever. That's Valentine's. So you got the Valentine's on Valentine's on Valentine's. We just did one night. Mm-hmm. We did our Valentine's Day one
basic
night.
You see? Put so some we did, years in and see how that Valentine's Day
we went to see
goes.
Eric Roberson at the Kennedy Center.
Oh, nice. I love Eric Roberson. He's a Jersey guy.
Yeah. That was, I didn't know what to expect. Like, even though I'm older than my fiance, I'm not that old. I'm not Eric Roberson old. So, but he likes older music. So like he knew way more songs than I did. I was just kind of sitting there low lost. But he was fun.
Did he hit that? I just kissed the softest lips that God has ever made.
Yes, never heard that song in my life.
That's my joint right there.
I had never heard that song in my entire life. But people there seem to know it. You know, if he had any remixes with like Jeezy or 2 Chainz, I definitely would have known those songs. But I was a little lost. So I felt, you know, whatever. It's fine. He was a fun show. So even if you didn't know his music, he did some covers. He did some covers. He killed the covers. And then he's dope.
He's a big songwriter. He's written songs that for like Music Soul Child and a bunch of artists who I'm sure you've heard the songs.
Yeah, not to even gas homeboy or like to be free promo, but he kept doing this thing that was pretty funny. Like he would pick people out of the audience and make songs about them on the spot. Mm-hmm. And the songs would be like, they were hilarious, but they were super good. So like that was really fun. Then we left and we went to dinner to one of my favorite restaurants. And that was it. Then we ended the evening.
Yeah. So also it's Black History Month. You should let me do my Black History Month moment.
Listen, I wasn't going to let you out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just love the pressure because, no, I'm serious. I love the pressure because it makes me have to work a little harder. But the beautiful thing about Black people, we've got so much to be proud of. Like if we were to do a whole podcast on Black history, like we would have content upon content upon content. Like,
oh no, we can do
so many accomplishments.
Yeah, literally. That's honestly not one podcast episode. Like it goes on forever. There could be just a whole series just on Black history for sure.
Absolutely.
So you're up.
Yeah, so this week's show is actually about the experience of actually buying a car. So in the process of, and the reason why we're doing this show, I had to buy a car 2 times in the last 60 days. And the experience was a lot different than what it was years ago, the last time I bought a car. But in the process of doing all this research about buying cars, I started stumbling on the notion of our experience in the automotive dealership business, like as a business owner. And I found some really, really great facts, some really, really great bios. And I want to just highlight a couple of those things. Because when we think about car dealerships, do we even think about the fact that a Black person could own one? Like, is that something that even crosses into your mind? Like, meaning like when you go out to buy a car, are you saying, let me go and try to find the Black auto dealer?
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I do agree with that. I've known a friend of mine, her dad owned car dealerships. But you're correct. I've never been like, let me look up the Black owned car dealerships and let me go there.
Yeah. When you're looking for a car, you tend to be looking for the make and model of the car you're
correct.
Looking for. Right.
Yeah.
But we are big in the ownership of car dealers. And I don't mean like the little rinky dink one with the pit bull in the fence selling used cars. I'm talking about like, we got Chrysler dealerships and Ford dealerships and BMW dealership. So here's some stats on Black auto dealers. Tiffany, would you believe that there are over 264 major Black-owned auto dealerships in this country? Would you also believe that Asian Americans own 215? Black folks own 264.
Thought you knew. Look at that.
in 2022 alone, there were an additional 110 minority-owned dealerships, not all of which were Black, but we are adding to our portfolio as well.
How do you even buy or open a car dealership? Do you got to buy the cars first or the land? No,
it's big money. Maybe
I wouldn't
both.
Even know where to start.
The cost of starting a car dealership ranges from $1 million to $10 million.
Mm. I can believe that. Again, you got to get the inventory.
It's like a franchise. It's like a franchise, right? So you got to imagine like building like a Zips dry cleaner the way we've done it. You're signing your deal with the company. That might only be like $50,000 to $100,000 for the right to be a franchisee. And then you got to go and find your location. You got to build it out. And then you got to have some inventory. You got to have a couple cars that you bought to put in the showroom. A couple, you know what I'm saying? So it's not like a Black-owned car dealership.
That's not easy to come by.
Not easy to come by. And I want to just run off some stats of some of the biggest in the country. So the biggest in the country is actually owned by Bob Johnson. Did you know that RLJ was in the car dealership business?
I didn't know that. That I didn't know.
So he has over 47 dealerships that do over $1 billion in sales.
I believe that.
The second biggest is a company called Boylan Auto Group, which is founded by a former baseball player, professional baseball player named Dorian Boland. And they do $400 million in revenue.
Jeez.
The next one, it's the March Hodge Automotive Group. They're based in Tampa, Florida. And this is when I want to get into the story of this particular guy. I just found this guy to be just amazing. The founder is a gentleman named Tony March. Unfortunately, he's deceased. But Tony March's dealerships produced over $370 million in sales. The brands he was in, he had Volvo, Mazda, Honda, Toyota, Nissan, Volkswagen, Saab. Do you even have Saabs anymore?
I was going to say, but back in the day, that was a vibe. And back in the day, a Saab was a vibe.
GM, Mitsubishi, and Hyundai.
I guess. You have a Nissan. I was about to say, are the Mitsubishi still out here?
Probably. Okay. Most likely. I don't know. But let me tell you a little bit about Tony March. So Tony March grew up in poverty. Like, he grew up in poverty. I'm just reading some excerpts from his book. He wrote a book called Paying It Backwards. His view was like, you know, people always talk about paying it forward, doing something nice for somebody, you know, and as a way of kind of putting good out into the world. But he's like, look, we need to go and dig backwards to the folks that are really, really struggling. Because, you know, Tony's life was like this, man. He was 16 years old. By age 16, he and his family had moved 17 different times. He had been an orphan living in an orphanage, and he was literally hungry and eating out of garbage cans.
Jesus.
He then did well in school. He earned a scholarship to Howard University, where he studied engineering.
HBCU.
Education was the thing that helped him to transform his life. By 1998, he was buying his first auto dealership.
I love that. Jeez, and by 1988.
He has a plaque on his wall of a quote from the Bible, Matthew 25.
That's called a scripture. Quotes from the Bible, they call it scriptures now.
I'll go with that. Scripture. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's Matthew 25 and 40. It says, whatever you do for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. And that's Jesus speaking. That would be in red in the Bible.
Okay.
And his life is driven by philanthropy. So he does a lot with homeless shelters and just giving back to the less fortunate. Unfortunately, he's passed, but his whole life was about philanthropy. Like, he made all this money, was one of the top auto dealers in the country, was named the Time Magazine recognized him as the auto dealer of the year twice. And
does he have kids?
We don't know about Tony March.
Does he have kids?
I don't know if he has kids. I think he has kids. He's married a bunch
of
years.
Black history. You don't even know if he got kids.
Like, you trying to go behind the music? Like, I'm just I'm giving you little known facts, and here you go trying to upend me.
No, yeah. I love it. I love it. I mean, again, all history is Black history. All history, all American history is Black history. So if there's anything in this country that exists, we are a part of the fabric of it. So I'm not surprised. I am surprised to hear kind of like how big we're showing up, but I'm not surprised that we're showing up. I'm sure there are so many more names that could be mentioned when it comes to you know, our service and our innovation in the automotive industry. So shout out to Black History. Now, I'm excited about this show.
Yes.
I'm really excited about this show, really for one reason only. There's literally only one reason why I'm excited about this show.
Okay.
We've talked about buying a car before in the past. Mm-hmm. And Alan has sat very firmly on one side of the fence.
Okay.
Right. And no matter what I try to bring to the table, I talk about my experience and my thoughts as far as like, you know, buying a car and what that experience is like. Alan is always very firm on, yeah. Nah, we don't do that over here.
Well, first of all, you're a girl. Okay. No, just joking. That's messed up. I don't know if you're fully a girl, to be honest. You're the toughest girl I ever met. I'm going to just put it like that. And I'm not trying to be sexist.
Oh, in this saga, I already know kind of like what's already happened. I was a part of this, at least a part of one of these car purchase situations. You have gone back on several of your hard, I don't do that over here when it comes to cars. Mm-hmm. So it really is just the factor of you having to give me credit. For what I've already been saying, but, and you but having you know to walk through the experience.
Well, hold on. Here's what I'll say. And so what Tiffany's getting at is I ended up leasing some cars, two cars.
Oh, whoa. Not only did you lease two cars, one for business and one for personal. And I don't want to, you know, just give away the good parts. You also bought a brand new car.
Yeah.
Which you've always said, if it ain't 3 years or older, I don't want her.
That's against my code. Now I will say, you know, since we pulling cards, Tiffany's a homeowner, so that was something that she was against before, and she's come on my side.
I wasn't against it. It just wasn't for me at the time, but you turned over a new leaf overnight, literally.
Fine. I'll take it. I receive it.
So let's talk about it. Let's get into Tiffany was Alan's right. new
Alan
ways.
Was wrong.
Yes, for the 100th time. Let's talk about Alan's new rules.
But I do have to say this, okay, just for the record, okay, the world's a little different right now.
Now the world's
just hear
different.
Me out. Interest rates are high. Inventory's low. Okay. The tactics of a few years ago when it came to buying a car, they're just not as relevant today. We got to adjust. We got to be nimble. We got to be willing to roll with the punches and do things a little bit differently.
Now you're
based
adjusting.
On what the market based on what the market demands.
We just talked about buying a new car last year. Now,
it wasn't
now
last
the world
year.
Is different. The whole
last
world
year.
Is different now. It wasn't more than 2 years ago.
Yeah, we did our car buying show in year one, and we've been on for like 4 years. So
we have not been on for 4 years.
We've been
and
on
we
for 7 years.
We
it's a Black History moment, okay? Our podcast is one of the longest running podcasts. In America.
Lies. We did the show 2 years ago because I bought a car. So that's...
Oh, that was put me in a foreign.
That was put me
different.
In a foreign.
That's different. Okay. Fine. So here's the thing. Like right now it's income tax refund time. And like, it's a big moment when people are out here buying cars. Like,
first of all, it is not income tax refund time. It's February.
Really
you people, everybody ain't on it like that. And you are everybody. So not that you'd be getting a refund anyway. But
a lot of jokers buy cars with they tax refund.
No,
like,
for sure. But that's April, not February.
No, nope. It starts now. Ask your friends.
No, I've gotten your taxes done this early. I'm proud of you. I love y'all. I'm proud of y'all. It means you really do listen to the podcast because I don't know too many people who have gotten that done just yet.
Yeah. So with that being said, it's a great time to be talking about tips and tricks
for actually buying a car.
Word in 2024. So let's start with a little bit of data. So we sell a lot of cars in this country. In 2023, over 15 million new vehicles were sold. That was a 12% increase from the prior year.
Jeez.
A lot of cars, but there's more used vehicles being sold than new. So 15 million new vehicles, but 36 million used vehicles were sold.
Yeah, I think that's because of leasing. Honestly, like people are leasing more. And, you know, with leasing, after the lease is over, I have a 3-year lease. After the lease is over, then they sell the used vehicle. And so the more people lease, the more used vehicles are available.
Fine. Did you know the top most popular vehicles that were bought used last year? 3 out of the top 5 were pickup trucks. Like, what's people's fascination with pickup trucks?
I want to say like maybe that's like the farming dudes. Industry.
That's like toxic masculinity. Like dudes feel like they need pickup. Like my dad has a pickup truck.
Mine did too.
My brother has a pickup truck, and these jokers ain't hauling anything.
Yeah, no, like, my dad was serious about his pickup truck, and he refused to let anybody put anything in the back. So, I mean, honestly, all that means, Alan, is you're a couple years out. You're a couple years out from your pickup truck.
I refuse. I'm not buying a pickup truck. So there's that. The average price of a new vehicle, $46,000. Mm-hmm. And the average price of a used vehicle, $29,472. Mm-hmm. Which is why my frugal behind always wanted a pre-owned car.
Until now, you're out here buying new, leasing new.
Listen,
yeah, so there's a lot of factors that got us to that point. There's a lot of factors that got Alan to leasing two cars.
Lord help me.
Just a short period of time. So you got to stick with us. We'll tell you about it when we come back. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. Momentum. So we're back.
Yes.
Alan's giving out lease cars. Anybody who wants a new lease car, God, please reach out to Alan.
You get a car.
He's up to two. He's up to two. He's willing to go to 20. He's willing to go up to 20. But no, let's give the backstory. How did you end up with no prep, no planning? Because we always say, do your research, you know, go to your bank first and get your loan interest rate from your bank so you walk in prepared. You didn't walk in prepared at all on two cars.
I did walk in prepared.
One preparation was me. one preparation was me finding the car and sending it to you and telling you where to go.
Shut up.
But let's talk about it. What got you to buy two cars?
Okay. So let me first give you our old mantra, okay?
And before we go there, I just also want to add some color. Alan bought two cars, and the car he drives is still falling apart. What?
Don't talk about Black Betty that way.
But I'm saying Black Betty might be going on to meet the Lord this year. You might be up to three.
No.
So can you lease three vehicles? Are they all in your name?
Man, listen, one thing I'll tell you is like, yeah, that's the issue. Like, the more you lease, the more they are looking at you sideways.
It's looking crazy right now, but all right,
yeah,
go ahead.
No, for sure. So, yeah, so we used to basically say if you want a new car, then you should lease it and put as little cash down as possible. Mm-hmm. And if you want a used car, that's the only car you should consider financing. And we would always also say when you're buying a used car, try to buy a certified pre-owned car that is exactly 3 years old and has less than 45,000 miles on it. And I still stand by a lot of that. And I walked into the dealer. So what happened was, my wife's car, that's the most important car in my household because it's my wife, it's my kids. Like, and my wife does a lot more driving than I do. And her car started having issues. And one of the issues she had was a transmission. And then she had an issue with an axle. And you start adding up, like the transmission didn't have to get fixed immediately. But then the axle gets broken. And then you're like, well, boom, if I fix the axle, then the transmission's still messed up. And you add up all that cost.
And how old was this car? Because this car is not that old.
Yeah, it wasn't that old. Yeah, the car was a 2017, I think. Mm. So it was like 6 years old at the time. I bought it in December. Yeah, so, you know, when you get to a point with a car where the cost of repairing it is more than the car is worth, it's the time to really be thinking about getting a new car, right? And so that's what really drove us to have to get a new car. I drive my cars till the wheels fall off. And literally when the axle's going, like the wheels are falling off at that point. that's a fact. And so basically I walked into the dealership and I had two cars in mind. One was to buy a certified pre-owned car, which was exactly 3 years old, which was, it had 50,000 miles on it. And the price was right. And so I walked onto that car lot with the goal of buying that certified pre-owned vehicle. Now, the one issue right now is that there's not a lot of options. Like when I bought the car that we were replacing, I walked onto the dealership years ago and there were like five or six to choose from. And like, there were different colors, there were different interiors, there were different packages. Like in this case, there was literally one that fit my needs on this car dealership. And within a 10 mile radius or 20 mile radius, there might've been three. Like there weren't a lot of options out there.
Yeah.
So the other option was to buy a new vehicle. So the pre-owned vehicle was $45,000. The new one was $65,000. Mm. And I'm like, you know, pound for pound, the pre-owned one was just as good, just on paper, right? The new one was just newer. So clearly there's more kind of secret, you know, like safety features in there that, that you don't realize that are baked in. But from a price perspective, I was like, yo, I think we're going towards this pre-owned joint.
Okay.
And I literally I told my wife, I'm like, she drove both. You know what I'm saying? You know, here's the funny thing in relationships, right? So like, this will happen with you, Tiffany. You and your dude will be out looking at vehicles and there'll be one that he has in mind. And there's one that you have in mind and he'll subtly try to nudge you towards his. So I'm subtly like nudging her towards the pre-owned vehicle. I'm like, well, you know, it's got this, like this. I'm back here in this back seat. It's just, it's just spacious. I don't know. It's something about, it's something about this car.
Manipulation.
So in my head, I'm like, yo, it's a $20,000 gap. Like, is it worth?
Are you going to give me the $20,000? Like, help me understand how this is.
Yeah. But so then I go into the, you know what I'm saying? You know, you sit at the desk and here's the moment of truth. Y'all start taking out papers and writing down numbers. And you know, here's the one thing the dealers, they still try to do. They try to push together everything and talk to you about a payment. Like, don't talk to me about a payment. Like talk to me about three separate transactions. Talk to me about how much is the car? How much is my trade-in?
Right.
And what's the financing talking about? The financing.
Right.
Like, don't talk to me about a payment. So they try to talk to me about a payment. I'm like, nah, don't talk to me about a payment. These are the two cars. Let's just work out the numbers on both cars side by side. And that'll help me to make my decision. And here's where it got crazy, Tiffany. And I'm sure somehow in your mad brain, you knew this. Okay. I didn't know this. But when it comes to the used cars that they're promoting online, they're giving you like they call it like the internet price.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the price was like 45K, but then they add all of these different costs
all
to it.
All types of stuff on top of it.
These jokers added a delivery fee, an etching, window etching fee. You know, you got to pay license and registration. Okay, that's not much, but they added a dock fee. Like, what the hell is it? What's a dock fee?
Because it was sitting on a dock at a bay. That's exactly why.
And then what's crazy, you know, because you're buying a pre-owned vehicle, you want to get a warranty, of course. And they also have, for an extra fee, they could make it certified pre-owned. I'm like,
it's official.
Like, is that just window dressing? Are you just tricking me into paying more
Pretty
money?
Much. Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? So by the time they added up all this stuff, my $45,000 car was sitting for like $55,000, $57,000.
Mm.
So then I'm looking at the new car and they're deducting stuff.
Oh,
like they're like, oh, well, we got a rebate for this amount.
Correct. And it's good for this guy solar. So now you get a different rebate.
And by the way, interest rates are different on used versus new.
Correct.
In America right now, the average interest rate for a new car, if you've got really good credit, which I ain't going to say nothing, but you know.
You did.
But the average interest rate right now for a new car is 5.6%. The average for a used car is 7.4%.
That's if you got great credit.
This is with great credit. You know, not
regular people credit. Regular people credit for a new car is 6.9%. And for a used car, it's 9.3%. And when I say regular, I don't mean bad. I mean, you know, when you check your Credit Karma, if it says good, that's regular people credit.
Well, give them the numbers. Give them the numbers, the credit scores.
Yeah, so it's a wide range. If you have anywhere from 660 to 780, then that's what I'm considering regular. And so the average interest rate for a brand new car, again, if your credit score is between 661 to 780, is either 6.9%, or for a used car, 9.3%.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah,
that's
a big difference.
Leasing's starting to look more and more.
I'm gonna just tell you like this. So with the new car, they're deducting stuff And the interest rate is like almost 2% lower.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get down to the point where I could pay basically like 55 or 57K for a pre-owned vehicle with a warranty. But because it already had miles on it, the warranty is a lot less.
Correct.
I might have 50,000 miles left on the warranty. And I also know that I'm inheriting somebody's issues. Like there's probably some hidden
thing
I don't know about the car. Kind of dug into that thing. And there were like little things, like little scratches in the interior that you try to act like you don't see. You don't want your wife to see that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so,
but then there's the new.
Yeah. So then bottom line, I'm like, okay, I'm at 60,000 for new or 55,000 for pre-owned. So I'm like, so for $5,000, I get an extra 60,000 miles of warranty. I get the newer technology. I get that new car smell.
And a lot of times now with leasing, because we didn't even get to the good part, you get a little maintenance package in there.
Yeah, it was maintenance built in.
You ain't got to worry about like the oil change and they doing all types of just nice stuff for you.
I ain't going to lie. Like, you know, I ain't pay for this, but they said they would even wash my car when I brought it in.
Listen, that's like, they've been doing that. They've been doing that on the leases. Okay.
So then I had them run the payments. I was like, I said, don't talk to me about payments, but run the payments. What would it cost for like a lease versus financing? And then this is where it got crazy. Like the lease cost was lower and I had to put less cash down.
Uh-huh. I've been saying that. Run a tape back of the previous, put me in a foreign. And I've said this. I've been saying this.
I know,
Alan's
but you're
like,
a girl,
no, pay
Tiffany.
More,
okay?
pay more for the old car,
to you, okay?
pay more for the old car and put money down. I'm out here telling you, we could put you in a form for less. We washing your car for free and you get to keep your money in the bank. Alan's horrible at his job. I don't know what type of financial advisor.
Whatever.
I'm trying to put you in a foreign.
I know you were. You were. And it's a foreign. It's a Nissan, but it's a foreign. Okay, probably built in America. So I'm just saying, I will eat humble pie today on national podcasts. Okay. And I'll say, look, I learned that there's some real pros and cons, and there's a lot of pros on leasing. I can't lie. Like, here's some of the stuff that I learned. Okay. For one, the payment is lower. For two, I could put less money down. For three, I didn't realize this, Tiffany, and you never told me this, and shame on you.
Oh my God.
I blame you for me not knowing this. At the end of the lease, it's possible that the residual value is less than what the actual value of the car is.
Correct.
And you could either sell the car, the leased vehicle to somebody else, or in my case, my dealer was like, look, I'll give you a check for the difference.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Again, yes. This
you
is
ain't
the
say
fact.
That.
So my Let me car, take that. My lease is up in December. Of this year. I've already got my eye on a new foreign. It's not out yet. It's not out yet. It drops this summer.
Tell us
but
more.
Listen, okay? I already got my eye on a new foreign. It drops this summer. But they want my car. The car that I have now is brand new. It was a brand new model when I got it. So it is worth more. And they're like, listen, when you bring it back, you're probably going to get a check.
Lord, help me, Jesus.
Okay. And
that's
I'm gonna
a good
that,
deal.
I'm going to put that on a new foreign.
You see what I'm saying?
See what I'm saying?
They ain't say nothing about that. 3, 4, 5 years ago when we did that podcast episode.
3, 4, 5 years ago. That was 2 years ago. Instead, you just want to literally, Alan's cars turn to ash. Alan's cars turn to ash. I've seen it. I've literally seen it. This one is super, super close. Like literally ashes to ashes, dust to dust. This will be the second car that Alan turns his car to. So when you're done, when you're done with this pre-owned vehicle that you've literally run into the ground, you have nothing. You don't have a trade-in. You're starting from scratch.
But hold on. But here's the thing that I still got to give myself credit for this. My current car, which you are bashing, it's been paid off for 4 years. And I've had no car payment. Don't mention the maintenance. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about that.
Easily, Alan.
Don't talk about that.
You easily spent. You spent over $10,000 in maintenance since the car's been paid off. easily, since the car's been paid off, you've spent easily over $10,000 in maintenance. It would have been better for you to keep paying a car note.
Ladies and gentlemen, the jury, I'd like to plead the Fifth Amendment.
But still, that is a trade off. And we're not really bashing. It really does. And we're going to talk about like it, buying and financing is good for some people. Leasing is good for others. But I'm telling you, like, part of the reason why I stopped buying is because I don't want to pay for maintenance. No, it's because I didn't want to pay for maintenance. Like, once we get to the point where the car starts needing all types of real maintenance, y'all can have it back. And I don't want to start paying those costs. So as a leaser, after 3 years, I don't have no issues in the first 3 years. And anything that happens is covered, right? So I don't pay for any of the maintenance. And I turn it back in. I never have to deal with any real maintenance costs. And that just works out for me. Yeah. I want the lower payment. I don't really want to put a ton of money down and I want to be in a foreign.
Yeah. And I will say this, like I used to always worry about the mile restrictions because I always thought that leases were hitting for like 10,000 miles a year, 12,000 miles a year. I was able to lease this vehicle with 20,000 miles a year. So I can drive 60,000 miles in 3 years. And like, I did the math. I looked at how much we're driving. My wife drives about 20,000 or less every year.
There you go.
And I'll tell you, for me, myself personally, like when it's time for me to get a car, like I barely put 12,000 miles a year on my car at this point.
And here's the thing. You know, Black people are serious when they say me, myself, personally. That's how you know. Okay, that we standing on business right now when you bring the Holy Trinity into it.
So, you know, I do know, look, there's some cons to leasing. So if you go over, it can cost you anywhere from 10 cents a mile to 50 cents a mile.
But you could also just stop. Like when you see your car getting to that mileage, you can take it back to the dealership and just turn it in.
You see your privilege talking? What if you got to get to work?
No, I'm not saying that day. Okay.
What if you got to pick your kids up from school? You're just going to be like, nah, I'm over my leases, my lease miles. Like,
listen, you know you're creeping. No, if you know you're creeping up, if you're 500 miles out, 1,000 miles out, and you know you got 6 months left on your lease, call a dealership. Say, listen, I got to bring this thing back because the lease is an or. It is for a period of time or mileage. So once you get to the mileage, you can go back up there.
But you got a contract. Like if you go back and you try to change this contract, it's possible that you could owe money on breaking
the lease. I'm not saying change the contract. I'm saying turn it in and get a new car. Like, again, the expiration is a date or a mileage. So if you are getting close to the mileage, it's time for you to turn it in and walk out with another car.
So turn it over to Jesus is what you're saying.
And he'll work it out.
So other, we got to give you both sides of the coin. It's a positive that you know exactly what your payment's going to be. And you're owning the car. When you lease a new car, you're owning it during like the least problematic period of owning that car.
No
like,
one's leasing a 5-year-old car.
Yeah. You're probably not getting all kinds of stuff that's outside of the warranty that could go wrong. So you can kind of budget really well inside of a lease. You mentioned already the scheduled maintenance and a lot of it, like free oil changes might be included. You're also going to get those most current safety features. Like I ain't going front, like my car don't even have a backup camera. I'm sorry.
What? Like, oh yeah, it doesn't. Doesn't your car have a CD player?
I wanted a CD player in my car. But was but dope. My car will memorize the CDs. I have a whole digital.
I was getting ready to say, like, because thing. When's the like, last time you put a CD into the car?
It's been a while because one, CDs ain't prevalent like they used to be.
Exactly.
But my car memorized all my CDs. So like I have a whole, I probably have 50 CDs that I could just pull up, you know what I'm saying, in my foreign.
Okay. All right. But to your point, right? Like the newer vehicles have a lot more safety features and that's more than just a nicety. That has an impact on your insurance. When you go and get insurance for the vehicle, right. And now you have a backup camera, you have all these additional safety features. It is a meaningful impact on your monthly insurance premium for the car.
Yeah, it goes up. Yeah.
No, it goes down.
No, it goes up.
It goes down.
Put it like this. A new car to insure is going to cost more in general than a used car. Those safety features will definitely be things that could push it lower for sure.
It definitely does bring it down. Like my fiance, he got a car a couple of months ago, and it had an impact. He bought for me, but yes, come through fiance.
He felt pressure because you out here in a foreign, and now he
he's
feels
not
pressure.
In a foreign. He's
now
not in
he's
a foreign.
He's in over his head. You see
he's
what I'm
not
saying?
In over his head, and he's in a foreign.
Relationship inflation, y'all. That's a new episode we're going to do.
That should be a new episode, relationship inflation, for sure. No, but, you know, when he was shopping insurance, the safety features did have an impact. It'll bring it down $30 here per month. It'll bring it down $20 here per month for having certain safety features and advancements. So yes, it might balance out, but it's not going to be significantly higher just because it's a brand new car, because those safety features do have an impact on bringing that number down.
Yeah, it's a fact. But here's where I land now. This is my new bottom line on cars, okay? If you lease a car, I mean, the downside to leasing a car is that you've got a monthly payment that's going to be going on forever and ever. Even, you know, you lease a car, you turn it back in, you get a new one. Yes, correct. You're getting a new car, but you got a whole stream of payments for life.
That's correct.
The contrast is if you buy a car new, you pay it off over time. And let's say you got a car that's a reliable car that doesn't have a lot of maintenance issues, and you don't have to drive it that much. Over the long term, it is cheaper to buy a car, pay it off, and keep it until it's uneconomical to repair. So meaning like once it gets to the point where it's just too expensive to keep on the road, then you get rid of it.
No, I agree with that. I think
But you're stuck with the same car for 15 years.
Yeah, but that's not a horrible thing. Because to your point, right, like you said, if you are the type, if you have a reliable car, you don't really drive a ton, your car doesn't have a lot of maintenance issues, you probably don't care if you're stuck with the same car for a long period of time, like as long as it's working and it's still doing what you need it to do, you are better suited to just finance. Because as Alan mentioned, you're likely to pay that car off and it's probably going to serve you for a really, really long time without any car payments. But if the rubber meets the road with you and you are hitting these streets, you're taking kids to and from school, you got to work commute, you take road trips and a variety of other things like most people do, mm-hmm. You should probably lease, right? Like, because again, you are going to put a lot of wear and tear on that car. You're not going to be responsible for maintenance and you can trade it out fairly regularly. So there are more tips that we need to talk about actually buying a car versus leasing. So stick with this. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom. It's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring Black and Brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out. Momentum.
So we're back.
Yes.
We are buying a car, or are we leasing it?
Yeah. And Alan's, I'm eating humble pie.
He is singing a new tune. So, okay, you talked about you had to buy a new car for your wife, but the second car that you had to buy was a car for one of our businesses.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a business in Indianapolis where we've got to deliver dry cleaning to business accounts, cart things back and forth between our two stores. And our other vehicle got trashed.
Yeah, I mean, pretty
thankfully
much.
We had insurance. Thankfully, we have very good insurance.
Great insurance.
Big shout out to Momentum Risk Management. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we had to get a new vehicle. I had to go out to Indianapolis and buy us a new car. And, you know, I did a lot of the research and then I got
Alan didn't
it
do any of the research.
Tiffany.
Alan didn't do any of the research. Alan said, I'm going to be in Indy this time tomorrow. Find me a car and tell me where to go. So I am calling dealerships in Indianapolis. Mind you, it's not like we had a car in mind. So we were starting from scratch. It wasn't like find me a Ford truck. It was like, just find me a vehicle that makes sense and that we can afford. And I could show up as a non-resident and buy it and walk out. And so I did the research. I sent Alan the information. I told him who to talk to. We narrowed it down to 2 cars. Here's the price. Yeah. And I just left it in God's hands.
So basically you're Alfred, I'm Batman.
No.
Yeah, you were in the lab on the computer, internet gangster.
No. Then I'm super thug. Morgan Freeman. What is his name? The Morgan Freeman role in the Batman movies. He's his tech guy who's like, yeah, who creates all the cool technology. That's
fine. You could be whoever you want because I'm still Batman.
All right, but like, you aren't Batman unless I create the technology. You're just fine. Bruce if I don't create the technology. So
fine, fine. So I'm Batman.
I made the suit and everything.
So you agree I'm Batman?
I'm Morgan Freeman. That's what matters.
So I walk into the dealership and you know what I'm saying? Here's one thing I'll tell you in general that is just the deal. Like you used to be able to walk into these dealerships and haggle the heck out of these people and beat them down and like use all of these tactics. And now we're in a new regime. Like inventory ain't popping like that. And so these dealers can afford to wait because they know somebody's going to come in and pay full price. So back in the day, if the MSRP was, you know, 30,000, I was definitely not paying MSRP. I was going in saying, I need to pay less than that.
Alan was like, I don't know, MS or RMP. So,
you see what I'm saying? And then during COVID, it became how much more than MSRP are you going to pay? And right now we're at a point where, you know, you're lucky to walk in and pay what's the sticker price. Like you're lucky to pay that. And I tried, listen, I'm a good negotiator. Like I actually in business school got an award for the chief negotiator in my whole class. And I walked out paying sticker price for this. I used all my stuff. I used everything
in the book. You walked out, like, listen, I'll come back later.
But I was like, look, I'm taking this pen. This pen's coming with me. So I want to talk a little bit about buying a vehicle for a business. For one, I'll tell you, for most people, it's not a good idea to buy a vehicle in the name of your business, and for a lot of different reasons. I think first you'll find
I'm sorry. You mean you don't get your DUNS number and then you go and then you get your business credit and then you go and put a car in the vehicle in the business name?
Lord help me.
That's not what you did. We didn't take our DUNS number. To the dealership, to get our credit, put the car in the business name.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out here that really, really in their heart think that business credit is its own person that has nothing to do with your credit.
It's
like
nothing. You are the business credit.
It's not. Yeah, it's not true. It's lies.
Have you ever? I'm not trying to be funny, and I don't want to get a. When's the last time somebody asked us for a DUNS number?
Yo, we have mad businesses. No one's ever, not once, asked us for a DUNS number.
Not the government, not payroll, not an employee, not an investor, not a bank. We got bank loans. Nobody asked us for a DUNS number.
Word. I just leased a car in the name of the business and I ain't get asked for a DUNS number. Straight up. Like, they asked
you for your number.
They sure did.
Was Alan Boomer's numbers?
They sure did. But here's the issue with leasing a car in a business. So this is where your accountant and your lawyer are going to get into a fight, right? Your accountant's going to say, oh, you should put the car in the name of the business because then it's a business write-off. Mm-hmm. Your lawyer's going to say, don't ever put the car in the name of the business because now if you're in an accident, you're risking your business assets. They're going to see, oh, wait a minute. This is a business. I could sue the business now.
Correct.
And now their eyes get big. Yeah, their eyes get big and they think about, you know, suing you for a larger amount. So what I'll say is this, like the only time that you really need to put a car in the name of the business is if somebody else is going to be driving it, right? Like you don't want it to be in your name. Somebody else is driving it. It just creates a lot of liability issues with regards to your insurance. And so if you're going to be the one driving the car, our suggestion is put the car in your name. And then let the business pay the bill. Let the business pay the lease. Let the business pay the note because your accountant isn't double checking to see, okay, is this lease in the name of the business? They're just looking at, oh, you paid a lease payment. And it's a legitimate business expense.
It's the use of the vehicle that they're asking for, right? So if you're using it for the business, it's a write-off. It doesn't have to be in the company name. And if you're letting the company pay the bill, it's probably helping you build your personal credit. At the same time.
That's a fact. So here's the other thing I learned about leasing the car or financing any kind, whether I leased or financed, this is the same truth. My credit is actually really, really good. I didn't realize how good my credit was until I went into this dealership to get this lease for the business. And I wound up with a really bad rate. And I'm like, yo, what part of the game is this? I've got good credit. But my rate is like subprime. And he's like, yeah, because your business has never leased a vehicle before.
The rookie tax.
Your business doesn't have a long credit history.
You got a rookie tax.
That's why like all of these TikTok videos where they're telling you to overnight open up these lines of credit, get a DUNS number, and then voila, you got access to all this business credit. They're like, nah, you've never done this before. I'm like, look, but we got all these other businesses. We've been around for all of these years. He's like, yes, but you've never leased a vehicle before. Mm-hmm. So like the type of credit matters as well. And so now yeah. I'm in a situation where Alan Boomer's got really good credit. The business has no credit. And so you're stuck at the least common denominator. And so they treat the lease or the financing as if I've got bad credit. But I had to do it because this is a vehicle multiple states away that I'm not going to be driving. And it would not make sense to put this as a personal vehicle.
And you had a flight to get on and get back home.
Listen.
And so time was of the essence.
Word. So I leased the vehicle in the business name. We're paying through the nose, and it is what it is. So what I'll say is this, like if you've got a chance to get a vehicle and you are going to be the one buying it, even if you're going to be using it majority for business, just put it in your name, or you're going to find, just like I found, that the rate's going to be really high.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean, bottom line. So again, buying a car for a business is not as simple as you guys think. As Alan mentioned, it's not as simple as these TikTok videos. It's not as simple as getting your DUNS number. Alan sent me this video that sent me through the roof.
Yes.
A week ago. And he
Can you break it down? Describe the video, please.
So, first of all, he is wrapping his ass off. he's wrapping his ass off outside of a vehicle. Like the car door is open and he's you know, fresh to death. And he's telling you, I still can't figure out if the intention of the video is teaching you how to scam or teaching you how to be legit. Either way, it's wrong. The information was incorrect, but it's telling you how to get the DUNS number. Then you go to your bank, you get the credit card, then you wait 90 days. And for the 90 days, you can't do no shady business. You got to keep it above board. But after the 90 days, then you can go get a business loan. You can get like 60,000. Like, and then now you straight, and now you can go buy the car, you can run it up, and then you can just do it again.
Yeah.
But the issue is, the video has so many views. I know so many people are like.
Do you go to the comments? Go to the comments on that when you get a second.
People
are like, thank you for this information. This is what I've been looking for.
This is what they don't want us to know. They don't want us to notice. This is what the government's hiding from us. This is not true. Like literally. And it's interesting because both of us, like we are entrepreneurs and we have friends who watch this content and they don't have any reason to believe it's not true. Mm-hmm. Right. They just assume that this, you know, someone's sharing this information. They had a lot of followers. They look like they have a lot of businesses. So they must be working for them.
Yeah.
I look like a hater. I always sound like a hater when I'm like, no, it doesn't. It's not going to work out for you like that. Like, that's not a real thing. But you don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, but listen. So, yeah, again, it's not your DUNS number. It's not your business credit. Don't get your business credit tomorrow. I know y'all think you just turn on your business credit, but you go get your business credit tomorrow and then you get a car the next day or a bank loan.
Yeah, meanwhile, your personal credit is 532.
Literally,
like you
trash.
Think you're getting a business loan.
Right. Facts. And again, as Alan mentioned, if you don't have any other vehicles that you've purchased, if you don't have any other loans that you've gotten on this business credit, you're still getting the rookie tax.
Yeah,
they still don't know you out here.
Yeah, that's a fact.
So we've talked about, you know, buying a car versus leasing a car. Mm-hmm. We've talked about how wrong Alan's been in the past and how he's really, you know, got to atone for just the bad calls on these vehicle purchases.
And we talked about how even every now and then a garbage can gets a steak.
I know I'm not the garbage can.
A broken clock is right two times a day.
Listen, I know I'm not the garbage can. Okay. So, and you are not the steak.
So. And girls could be smart too.
Oh my gosh.
That's the moral of the story.
Shout out to next month being Women's History Month. We're going to get into that. Alan better know the facts.
Big shout out to Tiffany. Tiffany, you are a brilliant person. You are hardworking. You is smart. You is kind. Okay.
Listen, all I'm saying is come March, you better be hitting these same facts the way you hitting them for Black History Month. I'm checking for Women's History Month facts next month on the podcast. But in the meantime, if you are buying a car, if you're in process of buying a car, you think you might have to buy a car soon, we hope some of this information has helped.
Yes.
And just making the decision that's best for you. There is no right or wrong answer, but we want you to know both sides of the coin. We will be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. Yeah.